We begin the current daf Masech the Bava Basra daf Kuf Chaf Aleph. We begin on the bottom of Kuf Chav Amud Beis, four lines up in the bottom of the Amud. But the Gemara continues the discussion in the previous daf, and that is the halacha of our previous Mishnah speaking about Bnei Slavchad, that they were an exception to the rule. Generally, in that generation, those who entered into Eretz Yisrael, if a woman inherited her father's inheritance, she was not allowed to marry a man from the other generation. But as the Gemara had said, the halacha of what's called Asabas Nachla, of transferring the inheritance from one tribe to another one, only applied to that generation. The Gemara said, how do we know that from? From the word Zehadavar, which says this is the thing for this generation and not for other future generations. But then the Gemara asked, but we have other psukim like by Shchut Echutz and by Taras Nadarm that also says Zehadavar, and it's not only for that generation. And that says the Gemara, because we have Xer Shava between Hataras Nadarm and Shchut Echutz, where we learn that one from the other. And so once we're learning one from the other, just like B'shchut D'chut, it says, so too for Ataras Nadarm, with the exception of this halacha of Asabas Nachla. So then the Gemara asked, well, that's only good according to Beis Hillel, because he holds that you could compare B'shchut D'chut to Ataras Nadarm to say that just like by Ataras Nadarm, there is a she'ela, you could do Ataras Nadarm, so you could undo and ask and permit what someone had made hektish and not to be liable on B'shchut D'chut. But according to Beis Hillel, it does not hold of She'ela behektish, so you can't have the gzeir shava because you can't have a half of gzeir shava. So what do you do with the zehadavers? On that, the Gemara said we learn out other things according to Bishamai from the zehadavar that's excluding something by shchut echutz and what the zehadavar is excluding by ataras nadarm. Now that's why Gemara continues and asks. So ul Bishamai the less lo gzeir shava. So according to Bishamai, that as we explained, obviously cannot have this gzeir shava learning nadarm from shchut echutz, where we said he can't have shchut echutz from the darim, because it doesn't hold of a she'ela b'hektish, so you can't have a half of gzeir shava, so therefore neither does he have the gzeir shava learning out hataras and darim from shchut echutz. So then, hafaras nedarim b'shloish had yaitis menalahu, so where does Bishamai know the halacha that hataras nedarim could be with three common people, that you don't need three professional judges, meaning Beis Hillel knows it from gzeir shava. Just like B'shchut Echutz it says, Aaron Ubanov V'chol Yisrael, meaning to say that it could be any Jew. So too Ataras Nadarm. But Beis Shammai doesn't have the Gzeir Shava. So where does he know this halacha from? Which that this halacha, although the words are Hafaras Nadarm, it's actually referring to what's called Hataras Nadarm, which is the Chacham permits, which for that you need to have a court, which of three regular people, or as we explain, what's called a Yachid Mumcha, an individual that is a professional who's like a Bezin. But actually, the act of hafaras nadarm, which that's actually enough with just the husband himself, even if he's one individual that's a common person, as the Gemara says at the end of Masech Shabbos, Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph, that she'ela needs a bezin, which that's for hataras nadarm. Hafara does not need a bezin. All you need is the husband. Now, moreover, the halacha of hafaras nadarm that applies to future generations, that Beis Shammai learns out that it's just like all other mitzvahs, because this word zeh, since we're already darshaning, as we said on this daf earlier from the previous daf, that it's coming to tell you that a chacham cannot do hafara and the baal cannot do hatara. That's what zeh hadav is coming to say, that only each one has the terminology that he could do. So therefore, we don't learn out from it an exclusion for future generations. Rather, the hataras nadarim will apply not just for this generation but for all future generations. So, but the Gemara, what it does have the question is that, so how do you know that Ataras Nadarim could be even with three common people? So that says the Gemara, Nafkilu b'netanya, right, Beis Hillel learned it out from the Gzer Shavim Shchut Echutz, from L'chol Yisrael, Beis Shammai would learn it out from a different source, as we learn in the following Braisa. The Pasuk in Vayikra says, V'idaber Moshe's me'adei Hashem al-b'nei Yisrael, that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke about the holidays of Hashem to the Jewish people. Now, basically, the Amr, he says as follows, which, as we continue on top of Kof Chof Aleph Amud Aleph, that the Gemara will explain this whole Braisa, which seems to be cryptic. He says, Mayadi Hashem Nemru, it was only speaking about the Yom Tovim of Hashem, but Shabbos Bereishis Lo Nemru, but it doesn't say anything about the Shabbos itself. But Nazim, he gives a different cryptic interpretation. He says, Mayadi Hashem Nemru, it only talks about the Yom Tovim of Hashem, but Afaras Nadarm Lo Nemru, but it doesn't say anything about the nulling of vows. Now, the Gemara tells that Rabbi Yisi ben Nasan gamal l'alaha masnita, he learned this braisa, but liyadu le'lefusha, did not interpret, didn't know what the braisa was teaching. Also, basred Rav Sheshu l'narda, so he went after Rav Sheshu, who was narda, to have him explain it to him. But the Ashkeche didn't find him over there. Also, basred l'machuza Ashkeche, he went after and searched to follow him in Machuza, and there he found him. Amalei said to him, "My, how do you read this words of the Tanna Kamma that says Mayad Hashem Nemru?" In this pasuk, we find that it says Eile Mayad Hashem, that he says that he spoke about the Mayad Hashem to Bnei Yisrael, but Shabbos Bereish Shalai Nemru, but that is not talking about the Shabbos itself. So Amalei, Rav Sheish has responded to him, and he says, "This is what the Brice is saying: Mayad Hashem Tzrichin Kiddush Bezdin. The Yom Tovim, the Shalosh Regalim, Rishonim Kippur, they need the sanctification of the courts. In other words, the courts would be Mekadesh, the new month, the new moon, based on the vision of when people would see the new moon. Now, through the be Mekadesh, the new month, that would be Mekadesh, the Yom Tov in its appropriate time. Because depending on the entire calculation of the year, and if it was an extra month or extra day in the month, all that would hold back the Yom Tov, because the Yom Tov depends on the day of the month. And who gets to decide that is the courts, because they decide when the new month begins. Because actually, the Yom Tov itself does not need to be Mekudesh. The court does not have to sanctify it. It's the month that they're Mekadesh. As the Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah Chavdal and Aleph, regarding Kiddush HaChadish, what they would do would be that the Av Bezdin, the head of the court, would say Mekudesh, that the new month is sanctified, and all the people would answer, Mekudesh, Mekudesh, like it says over there, Ashatikru Aysam, which it's read, Ashatikru Atem. Now, the fact that they would say it two times is learned up because it says Mikra'e Kodesh, which is plural, that they would sanctify Mekudesh, Mekudesh. And this was done through when two witnesses would see the new moon, that's how they would Mekadesh HaChodesh. That would be being Mesakin and instituting the Yom Tovim, and that's what we call being Mekadesh the Yom Tov, because through the Kiddush HaChodesh, that would define what's the day of the Yom Tov. Now, that's only regarding the Mayadim. Shabbos Bereishis in the Tzricha Kiddush Besim. What the Brice is teaching, however, is that Moshe Rabbeinu said about the Mayad Hashem to Bnei Yisrael, but that only because the Mayadim need Kiddush for the Mekadesh HaChodesh, but Shabbos itself does not need Kiddush Bezdin, meaning like they were Mekadesh the Yom Tovim through being Mekadesh the new month, which is that if let's say you have a Yom Tov that comes on the 15th of the month, so by being Mekadesh the beginning of that month, that then gives the sanctification and the date of the Yom Tov, that we're saying, but regarding Shabbos, we don't have to, let's say, sanctify saying that this is Sunday, so that the end of it, the day, the seventh day, will be Shabbos. No. Rather, the seventh day is always Shabbos, even without Bezdin saying, okay, this is day number one, so that day number seven will be Shabbos. And that's learned out from the Pasuk, because it says, Mayad Hashem in that Pasuk, which is superfluous. Because the Pasuk could have said, Elu Asher Tikru Oisim Mikro Kedush. Why does it have to say, Mayad Hashem? It's coming to teach you that this halacha be Mekadesh through the courts, which is when the Mekadesh HaChodesh is only for Mayad Hashem and not for Shabbos. Now, why is it called Shabbos Bereishis? Is because actually every Yom Tov is also called Shabbos, as it says Shabbos Shabbosim. So that's why we have to say to refer to the what we call Shabbos as Shabbos Bereishis, which is this is the day which is sanctified and has come already from the 6 days of creation, where that's what the first Shabbos was already sanctified, like it says, Ve'ikadosh Shoyse, that Hashem already sanctified it, and we don't have to re-sanctify it every single week. Now, explains the Gemara. Because Sokka Dadechamina, you would have thought to say, since the mitzvah of Shabbos is written in the parsha of the Yom Tovim, and what's called the parsha of Shari Chesed ben Vayikrachav Beis, which is laying on Yom Tovim, to buy Kiddush Bezdin coming out of this, you would think it would have to be the same as Yom Tovim, that it has to have Kiddush Bezdin of that week or whatever it is to create the sanctity of Shabbos, just like they have to do for Yom Tovim. Kamash Malan, that's what the Pasuk is teaching, that no, it's only Me'ad Hashem and not for Shabbos. That's the interpretation of the Tanna Kamma. Now, the Gemara continues with the next opinion, which is going to be the source for the opinion of Bishamai. Where do we know the Salacha of that even Gimel HaGeitis is good enough at Taras Nadar? So he continued asking, he says, so Mai, how do you interpret Benazai? Benazai said, Me'ad Hashem Nemu. Oh, it's only talking about the Yom Tovim. HaFaras Nadar Mlo Nemu, regarding permitting a vow, that it wasn't talking about. So that he explained. Me'ad Hashem Tzrichin Mumchen. It's regarding the Yom Tovim Hashem that needs people that are proficient in Torah law. Because you cannot sanctify the new month with three common people as you could do by a Faras Nadarm, and neither can you do it with what's called a Yochid Mumcha, an individual that's very well versed in Torah, like you could do by a Faras Nadarm. Rather, for Kiddush HaChodesh, you need to have three Mumchen, as the Gemara learns out in Rosh Hashanah, because there was no one more proficient in Torah law in the Jewish people more than Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet the Torah Hashem tells him, until he had Aaron with him, he would not be able to buy himself be mekadosh l'chaydush, as the Torah says there in Parashat Bo'i, v'yem Hashem al-Moshe ve'ala Aaron, etc., ha'chaydush is elechem, which says, like you, that you are mumchen, which means, but you can't do it yourself, you need Aaron with you. Now, a court can't be an equal number, so you have to add on another one to make it three, so you see you need to have three mumchen. That is what the drasha is telling you, that Benaz is teaching, but afaras nadarim ain't a tzricha mumchen. But afaras nadarim, although you need three people, you don't need to have a mumchen, and that's the source for the salacha, for Bishamai, how we know afaras nadarim does not need three mumchen, just three regular people, from me'adi Hashem tzricha mumchen, but afaras nadarim ain't a tzricha mumchen. Now, however, the Gemara asks, but for Rashi Amatis, but the pasuk in Bamidbar already says that hataras nadarim needs to have the heads of your tribes, which are the ones who are mumchen in Torah law, that Amrav Chizam Amrichan, which we already referenced this teaching on the previous daf, that's Toma B'yachin Mumcha. That's Toma an individual that's proficient in Torah law. He could do Ataras Nadarim himself. But if you want to have three people, then you could even have, as we're learning from this drasha, Hedyotis, you don't need to have Mumcha. Now the Gemara goes back to the original topic that we're discussing from our Mishnah regarding Hasavas Nachla, regarding the prohibition that there was in the generation of those who entered into Eretz Yisrael, that a woman who inherited should not marry a man from another tribe, so that it shouldn't transfer over to another tribe. So the Gemara brings Snan Hasam. We learned over there in the Mishnah Masechtas Tainis, which, because it's going to mention this concept of that there was a day that they then permitted the tribes to intermarry, which was allowing Hasavas Nachla, so that's why the Gemara brings this Mishnah over here. So the Mishnah there teaches the Amr B'Shem Gamliel. He says, Lahoy Yom Tavim LeYisrael, there weren't as great joyous days to the Jewish people, Kechamisha As Ba'av, like the 15th of Av, Uke Yom Kippurim, and like the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippurim. Shebehen B'Noisi Yerushalayim Yoytzis B'Kalei Lavan Sh'ulim, because it was on that day that the Jewish girls would go out with borrowed white clothing, meaning that even girls who had their own, they would borrow Sh'lei Levayish Esmi, so that they shouldn't embarrass the other girls who had to borrow, because they didn't have, as the Gemara there says in Masechtas Tainis, that the daughter of the king would borrow from the daughter of the Kohen Gadol, and so on and so forth down the chain. Now, ask the Gemara, Bishlam Yom Kippurim. We understand very well regarding Yom Kippurim why there was no greater Yom Tovim than that, because Yom Slicho, Mechilat's Day of Atonement and Forgiveness, Yom Shnitnu by Luchas Achreinus, it was the day that the second Luchas were given to us, which is basically the giving of the Torah, which is what we have. We don't have that of Shavuos, that one was broken. As actually is taught in the Brice and Seder Olam, that Moshe Rabbeinu on the 6th of Sivan went up to receive the first Luchas. He came down 40 days later on Shiva Aser B'Tamas. Now, it was on that day that he broke the Luchas because the Jewish people had done the Egel. So he didn't have it anymore. He went back up on the 18th and he beseeched mercy for Hashem regarding the sin of the eagle. Like it says in the Pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu says, V'snapal afnei Hashem v'sarbom yoyim v'sarbom halayla ashes napalti. I fell in front of Hashem davening for 40 days and 40 nights. Ki yom Hashem l'hashem neschem, because Hashem said he was going to destroy you. And it was at that moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was forgiving to the Jewish people. And he said after those 40 days, P'salach ha'shnei luchas avadim k'rishayim, go ahead and make a new set of luchas. He came down on the 28th of Av, and he went and made these new luchas, as it says, V'yisal shnei luchas avam mikrishayinim, V'yashkim ha'maykim ha'baker. Next morning, he goes right back up to Hashem. He goes up on the 29th of Av. He's there for another 40 days and 40 nights, from the 30th of Av until the 10th of Tishrei, which it says, V'neichi mati b'har k'yam mikrishayinim arbam. He says, I was there for the same amount of time as the first time. I was there again for another 40 days and 40 nights. So it was on the 10th of Tishrei that he came back down, which is Yom Kippurim, which is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was appeased to the Jewish people with great joy. And it was on that day that Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the second pair of luchas in his hands. So it's a great day. It's like a Kabbalah Satayra, and it's a Day of Atonement. So we know why it was such a great Yom Tov. El Chamisha Asba Av Mahi, but ask him, what exactly is the 15th of Av, that there's no greater Yom Tov than Yom Kippurim and Chamisha Asba Av? So the Gemara brings many different interpretations. I'm reviewing the Mishmol. But the first one, which is why we bring it in, is Yom Shehutru Shvatim. It was the day, and this is that they had this tradition, it was the day that it was permitted for the tribes, Lavei Zeh B'Zeh, to intermarry, meaning that this Isra of Hasavas Nachla, of a girl who had inherited from her parents their tribe's inheritance, which they at that generation was forbidden, at that day when the generation of those who came into Eretz Yisrael had stopped, which for them was prohibited, this asavas nachlo. Now it was permitted. In other words, those who were still around from that generation were still forbidden, but the other people who were not from that generation, it was on that day of Shiva, of the 15th of Av, that it became permitted for them to intermarry between the tribes. Ask the Gemara, my darsh, what did they expound? How did they see fit to permit it? Because the Pasuk Mamidbar says, as we taught this on previous daf, Zehadavar. It says there in the context regarding the B'nai Slavchu, which right after that talks about that Isra of marrying another tribe, it says, Zehadavar, this is this thing which tells us, Davar Zeh lo yehi noig ela b'dar zeh. Zeh is an exclusionary term saying that this prohibition only applies to this generation. Once it moved on to the next generation, on the 15th of Av, that's when it finished, that's when they went ahead and permitted, that was a great simcha, now the Jewish people could be one again. Second interpretation, Rabbi Babachana Amar Rabbi Yechanan, he says, Yim Shehuta Sheva Binyamin Lovet Bekala, similar type of phenomena, later on in the history of the Jewish people, that it was permitted on that day for the tribe of Binyamin to marry into the rest of the Jewish people. Because of the incident of Plagish Begibah, there was a big war between the Jewish people and Sheva Binyamin, and they kept Sheva Binyamin out of the rest of the Jewish people. But on the 15th of Av was when they permitted him to come back in. Like it says the pasuk in Shaftim, where Ish Yisrael nishba b'mitzvah lemer, every Jewish man swore in mitzvah saying, Ish mimenu leitin biti leBinyamin leisha, no man will give his daughter to the tribe of Binyamin as a wife. So that was what they had. But then at that day, at the 15th of Av, they permitted it. So my darsh, what did they expound to permit, if they took an oath that no one's going to have their children marry into Sheva Binyamin, how did they permit it? Says the Gemara, because the words are that each man swore, Ish mimenu, from him, he's not going to give his daughter, but v'lo mibneinu, but not from our children. So meaning our children, their daughters could go ahead and marry, and so therefore, once that passed on to the next generation, then they permitted it. Now, again, all the different interpretations, they're just saying what they had traditions from their teacher, but they're not disagreeing that this was another reason, another facet into the beauty of the Yom Tov of Chamisha Asba'av. A third interpretation of Din Ba'yesev Amar of Nachman says, Yem Shekolu by Mesei Midbar. It was the day that those who were dying, the generation of over 20 that left Egypt, they died throughout the 40 years that they were in the desert. It was on the 15th of Av that generation stopped dying. As is brought in Medrash Eicha, it was what's called the Chayfer, the digging had stopped. Because like Reb Levi said, that every Erev Tisha B'Av, the announcement would go out, that everyone should go out and dig graves. And then to go out, and they would sleep in the graves. In the morning, an announcement would go out, Yibodlu HaChayim Min HaMesim, let the living separate from the dead. And they would check and they would find every single year they would be missing 15,000 and a little bit more. Where they did this for a period of 40 years. Every day on Tisha B'Av, they did this. And after 40 years, when it came to the last year, they did the same thing. And they checked and they found out that the exact amount that had laid down had gotten up. So they said, maybe we made a mistake. Every year there's thousands that die. So then they did again on the 10th of Av. And then on the 11th, and the 12th, and the 13th, and the 14th, and still the same people that laid down kept on getting up. Until it was already a full moon. It reached the halfway point of the month. Once it reached a full moon, they said, obviously we're not making a mistake. It's not Tisha B'Av anymore. It's already halfway through the month. Must have been HaKadosh Baruch Hu who has mevatel this very harsh gezer from ourselves. And they made what's called Mishta B'Simcha and Yom Tov. They made a joyous day for that day. Now, why did they make it so joyous? Not just because they stopped dying. But because the Amamar, like the Master said, the reason why they made it into a Mishta B'Simcha was because now the prophecy from Hashem came back, where now he started conversing again with Moshe Rabbeinu. Because like the Master said, Achle Kolo Mesa Midbar, until the generation of those in the desert didn't stop dying, as we continue to Amid Beis, Lahaya Dibra Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not talk face to face as he originally done with Moshe Rabbeinu. But now, although if he did need to talk with Moshe Rabbeinu, for example, like the incident with Korach, which was after the Ma'aseh Meraglim that the Jewish people started dying out, he would talk to him, but it would be through an angel, through a malach, or through the Umritumim, through that you could ask the question to the Kohen Gadol. Or another interpretation is that he would talk to him, but it would only be if it was necessary, if something was going on. But he wouldn't talk to him just as it had always been for other purposes, not just what was necessary for the moment. Shnemek says, the pasuk in Devarim says, "Vayikasher tamu kol anshei melchama lomus mikarev ha'am." That it was that when all the people from that had fought that stopped dying from amongst the people, which is referring to the dying of the generation of the those who left Egypt, V'samachlein, what does it say right there? It says, V'yidaber Hashem alai leimar, Moshe Rabbeinu says, now Hashem spoke to me saying, what that comes to tell us is, alai hoya hadibur, to me was the speech. Now, because the pasuk could have said, as it says in other places, actually earlier, V'yirma Hashem alai, Hashem spoke to me. Where it says, V'yirma Hashem alai al tatzer esmoy, why say, V'yirma Hashem alai? Which means say, Hashem spoke to me, meaning like we got back to our old ways of discussing. Or another interpretation is because it said this near Vayhi Kasher Tamu, that's why it darshans as follows, meaning not from the literal, not from the words themselves of Eli, but rather because the words Vayhi Kasher Tamu are superfluous, what's it coming to say, must be coming to say because when they stopped dying, then Hashem resumed talking with Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore when they stopped dying, the fifth, that was a great simcha because now Hashem was going and talking back again with their leader, with Moshe Rabbeinu. A fourth interpretation, Ula Amar, he says, the Yom Tov of Chamish Asba'av is Yom Shebitla Bo Hoshea ben Ela, because it's the day that Hoshea ben Ela, the leader of the Jewish people, had nullified the Pardisais, which were the watchmen, as the Braisa brings in Seder Olam, that when Hoshea ben Ela, who was the king of the Malchi Yisrael, saw that the golden calves that had been put up by Yeravam went into exile, so then he went up and he also now took down the guardians, the watchmen, the patrols on the streets, Shahai Shabi Ravam al Adracham, that Yeravam ben Nevat had put up on the roads. Shalayali Yisrael Regal, that's what caused the whole faction. He didn't want to have that they went to his competition, to the king of Yehuda, to Rechavim. So he put up different sentries to prevent the Jewish people from going up three times a year and seeing the beauty of the other kingdom, which is in Yerushalayim, that they shouldn't go up and do Alila Regel. Now, because all the Malchi Yisrael, which the Jewish people were split up into two, regarding them it says, Vayelech b'derech Yeravim ben Nevat, that they went in the path of Yeravim ben Nevat, u'b'chatzas ha'shech teis Yisrael, and regarding that, he caused the Jewish people to sin. But b'harishaya, it says, Rak loike Malchi Yisrael ha'shech lefanav, he was not the same, because he stopped and he let the Jewish people be Alila Regel, which was a huge Yom Tov. The Jewish people could see the source of the, in geographical terms, their God by Alila Regel, and that was permitted on the 15th of Av. Rav Masna Amar, he gives a fifth interpretation. He says, Yom Shenitnu Harogei Beiter. It was the day that it was given over for those who died in Beiter, which as the Gemara in Gittin teaches at length regarding the destruction of the Churban Beis Hamikdash, and one of the destructions were that the entire community of Beiter was killed out, that they were given Likvura. On the 5th of Av was when they were able to be buried. The Amr of Masna, like Rav Masna says, Isa Yom, that day, the 15th of Av, Shenosnu Harugi Beit Likvura, which was given that those who had been killed and murdered in Beita to be buried, and that's why they rejoiced, because they merited to be buried and not to just rot in the ground. On that day, Tiknu Yavna, they instituted in Yavna, where the Bezdin was, the Sanhedrin was, they instituted this bracha of Hatayva HaMeitim that we make in benching, in Berchus HaMazon. That was instituted on that day, because actually, biblically, there's only three brachas of Hazan, and Neidlecha, and Ubnei, as the Gemara in Brachas learns out from a pasuk of Verach, Shem Lakecha, La'aretz, etc. Hatayva HaMeitim is actually a rabbinic bracha. It was instituted on that day, the 15th of Av, that the Harugei Beit were able to be buried. Why? What is Hatayva HaMeitiv? Hatayva Hashem is good, Shlei Hisrichu, that they did not decompose and rot. Vameitiv, and he does good, Shenitnu Likvura, that they were given over to be buried. That was the fifth thing that was on the 15th of Av. Rabbi Rav Yosef, Damar Tabayo, they both say a sixth interpretation. Yem Shepoiskim by Melichris Eitzim L'Mamrach, it's the day that they stopped cutting the wood for the fires that are on the Mizbeach. As the Gemara explains, Tanya learned the Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol Omer, he says that from Nisan until the 15th of Av, they would chop wood that was necessary for all the fires that they would use throughout the year on the Mizbeach, which for all the Karbanis and so on. Now, Kivin Shagiyah Chamisha Asab Av, once it reached the 15th of Av, Toshish Keichah Shel Chama, then the power of the sun starts to get weak, which therefore the wood has some moisture and it's going to cause it to be smoky. Moreover, it could get wormy, as the Medrash brings in Eicha, that it was on that time that they stopped cutting the firewood for the Mizbeach, because any wood that has worms in it is possible for the Mizbeach. And anyone that's going to be cut on that day is not going to be good for the burning of the Mizbeach. So, from that point on, they wouldn't cut wood anymore for the fires on the Mizbeach. And since that was the day that they would stop, they would rejoice because any time you complete a mitzvah, such as a great one like this, cutting the wood from the Mizbeach, it's a mitzvah. That's why we make a seam when you conclude something. That was the great Yom Tov of Chamisha Asa B'Av. Now, Amr of Nashe says, V'kar le'yim tever magal. They called that day the day of the breaking of the hatchets because they didn't need any more axes to go ahead and cut down the wood because they stopped on that day. Now, Mekam Ve'elach says the Gemara parenthetically, from that day on, from Chamisha Asa B'Av and on, Demaisiv, whoever increases from his learning at nighttime, from what he had learned during the daytime, Yosef will increase the amount of his days. Like the Pasuk says in Dvarim Lamed, Ki hu chayecha, because the learning of Torah is your life. As it says in Mishlei Perek Gimel, Ke'erich Yamim Ushnei Schaim V'Shol Misifulach, that learning Torah increases a person's lifespan. Now, since at that point in time the nights start getting longer and the days start getting shorter, so a person has to be increasing his amount of learning at the nighttime. So if someone is maisiv, his learning, so his yosef, so increases his days. She'ena maisiv, if it does not increase his learning of the nighttime, then yosef. Ask the Gemara, my yosef, what does it mean yosef? So Tanya Rav Yosef, he explains, tikbere ime. It means his mother will bury him, meaning he's going to die half of his lifespan. Like the Pasuk says in the end of Megillas Esther, V'zichrim lo Yosef Mizaram, what does it mean, lo Yosef? It means that they will not be annihilated, which is teaching us that lo Yosef, meaning he'll be Yosef, which means say that he will die. Now, as Rashbam points out, that's why the Girsa cannot be Yosef, because then what would the Gemara be asking by saying, Ma Yosef? That's obvious. We know Yosef means a term of death. As the Pasuk says, Mamid Bachav, Yosef Aaron Alamov, we know that rather the terminology was Yosef, and then asking, well, what's Yosef? That we find that, like in the Megillah says, that Yosef could also mean death, which is that he will die half of his life if he does not increase his learning after Chamisha Asa B'Av in the nighttime. Tanabon, the Gemara brings up Raisa also from Seder Olam. Now, because ultimately it's going to talk about Kalev and Yeshua, that's why it discusses this price. So actually another interpretation is because since we spoke about just before, Maisiv Yosef, whoever increases his amount of learning, he'll live a longer life. So it's coming to teach us that these seven individuals, because they were righteous and they toiled on Torah, that's why they lived so long. So what are we talking about? Shiva Kiplu es Kol Olam Kuloi. There are seven individuals that surrounded the entire world, meaning in the time of history, where these seven people served one, the one before him, as the Brisa was speaking about there earlier in Seder Olam. So therefore, from the beginning of time till the end of time, these seven people, their span encompasses the entire history of the world. How is this? So, Mr. Shelach Ra Adam. Mr. Shelach saw the first man, Adam Arishan. Now, Shem Ra Mr. Shelach. Shem from Shem Cham and Yafes, from the children of Noach, saw Mr. Shelach. Yaakov, the Yaakovinu, Ross Shem, he saw Shem. Now, it comes out like the Brisa there says in Seder Olam, that Yaakov served Shem for 20 or some say for 50 years, as we know that Yaakov, even before he went to Lavan, went to the yeshiva of Shem and Aver. Now, Shem served Musa Shelach for 98 years, and Musa Shelach served Adam Arishan for 243 years. Now, actually, the calculation of the generations are actually written in the parasha, in the Torah, generation after generation. From there you could learn out the calculation, because Mr. Shelach didn't die until right away, right before the Mabel. As the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kof Chesam Abayis teaches, when it says, Vehi L'Shevas Yom, that was for the seventh day, and then the Mabel started coming, Umeyim Mabel Hayu, what 7 days are that? That refers to the 7 days of the mourning of Mr. Shelach HaTzadik. Now, at that point in time, Shem was already 98 years old. Because as the Pasuk says later on, that Shem was 100 years old and he gave birth to Parshat, which was Shnasai Machamabel, 2 years after the Mabel. Which means that right before the Mabel, he was 98. So he was serving Mr. Shelach. And as you see from the Pesukim, you could see that Mr. Shelach's years overlap Adam Arishan's. So you have those three individuals already all those years. Now, Rashbam points out that although Lamech also saw Adam and Shem, but the Brisa here is only counting totally righteous individuals. As we said that they served each other, these are the righteous who in the entire world encompasses their lifespan. Moreover, points out Rashbam, that obviously this Tanakh cannot hold, like there are who say, that Chanoich, which is from the earlier generations, is Metatrin, which was this type of Malach Elikim, because then it should have said that there were actually two individuals that surrounded the whole world. Because then if you have from Adam to Chanoich, and Chanoich lived forever, so then you have two individuals, we don't need seven. Now, rather it's because this town is the town of Seder Olam, who holds that when it says in the Pasuk that Veinenu, that Chanoich was not around anymore, Ki Lo Koach Eisei Elikim, like the Torah says in Bereishis, in the beginning of the Torah, that Hashem took him away, it means because he died in half of his lifespan. As it teaches over there, Chanoich buried Adam and Chava, and he only lived after that for 57 years. It's not because he was taken as a Malach Lekim, he was taken because he actually passed away, whereas Mr. Shelach, he lived all the way up until the Mabul. So we have Yaakov that saw shame. Then Amram, who's the father of Moshe Rabbeinu, Ra'as Yaakov. He saw Yaakov Avinu. Now that's based on logic because Amram's father, Kahas, was from those who had come down, the generation who came down to Egypt. As it says in the Pasuk, B'nei Levi, from the 70 that came down with Yaakov Avinu, were Gershon u'Kahas. Now, Yaakov, as the Pasuk says, V'chi Yaakov be'eretz Mitzrayim, Shva Esrei Shana, he lived from when he came down to Mitzrayim, 17 years. Now, in those 17 years, Amram was born to Kahas, because he was his first son, as it says, B'nei Kahas was Amram v'Yitzer. So it's logical to say that he was 12, 15, whatever it is, that for those amount of years, he served and saw his grandfather Yaakov. Now, Achia Shiloini Ras Amram. Achia Shiloini, he saw Amram, who's a later prophetic vision. Achia Shiloini was someone that said prophecy in the days of Yeravim. And Eliyahu Ras Achia Shiloini. Eliyahu Hanavi, he saw Achia Shiloini, which that's also based on tradition. Now, as Rashbam points out also, obviously this Tanna does not hold like those who say that Eliyahu was who we know is the biblical figure of Pinchas, because if so, then the Brisa could have just said that Moshe Rabbeinu saw his father Amram, and Pinchas saw Moshe, and Pinchas is still alive because he's Eliyahu Navi, so you wouldn't have to include us Achia HaShiloini. Now, says the Brisa, V'adayin Kayim, and Eliyahu Navi is still around, so he's encompassing all these remaining years till the end, and therefore you have these seven individuals that encompass the entire history of the world. Now, on that as the Gemara, V'Achia HaShiloini Ra'as Amram, is that really true that Achia HaShiloini, one of these transition periods, you said that Achia HaShiloini saw Amram? But V'Aksiv, it says the Pasuk in Midbar, which will show us that it's not possible that he saw Amram. The Pasuk says, V'lo Noisim Hem Ish, none of the generation from those who left Egypt were survived to come into Eretz Yisrael. Kim Kalev Ben Yefuna V'Yeshua Ben Nun. There were two exceptions. It was Kalev Ben Yefuna and Yeshua Ben Nun. Now, as we said before, Achia HaShiloini was prophesizing in the days of Yeravim. If it was true that he saw Amram in Mitzrayim, how could he have left Egypt and entered into Eretz Yisrael? But as we said before, Yaakov lived in Mitzrayim only for a period of 17 years. Now we said that Amram saw Yaakov Avinu at least for one day. Now the years of Amram, as the Torah says, were Kuf Lamed Zayin Shana, were 137 years. So the most that you could have from the 17 years of Yaakov, so even if it was the last day and he was just born and he just saw him, is 154 years. Now, if you're saying Achia HaShiloini saw Amram, how much is there if you take away from the 210 years that the Jewish people were in Egypt and to minus after when the death of Amram, you're left with 56 years. So it comes out that if Achia HaShiloini saw Amram, he must have been at least 56 years old when he left Mitzrayim, maybe even more, because maybe he was born sometime in the middle of the lifespan of Amram. But it has to be at least 56 years. Now, we said that anyone over 20 died in the Midbar, didn't make it to Eretz Yisrael. So Achia HaShiloini, who was prophesizing years later, how's it possible that he saw Amram? So Amar Rav Nun, he says, Achia HaShiloini was a Levi. As the Pasuk says in Divrei Yom Aleph, that V'Halavim, Achia was al Oitzis Beis Lekim, was on charge of the storehouses of the house of God. So explains Rav Nun, Le'nigzer Gzeira al Shiftei Shel Levi. The Gzeira of dying in the Midbar was not decreed on the tribe of Levi. There's something the Pasuk says in the Midbar. It says, "Bamidbar hazeh yiplu pigreichem." Hashem said that in this desert, your carcasses will fall. And all your counting and all your appointees from 20 years and up will die in the Midbar. Explains the Gemara, "Misha pekuda mi ben esem." That's only for those who accounted for their army from 20 years and up. Yata shifti shel Levi shepekuda mi ben shloishim. That excludes the tribe of Levi, who is actually counted from 30 and up. Which first Rashbam brings an interpretation means from day 30 and up, Because actually the countings of the numbers of the tribe of Levi was actually counted from Miben Chodesh Umala, from 30 day old and up, which was to redeem for them the Bechairis, as we had that transaction between the Bechairis and the Levim, as the Pasuk says in Sefer Bamidbar, Miben Chodesh Umala Tifkedem. But Rashbam doesn't like that interpretation, because then it should have said, Yata Shevet Shalevi Shebekudim Miben Chodesh. Should have used the terminology from a month and up. Rather, he explains that this Shleishim actually refers to Shleishim Shana. Shevet Levi was different because they didn't count from 20 years and up, but rather 30 years and up. As the Pasuk says, B'nei Gershon were Kahasa Merari, mi ben Shleishim Shana v'malavad ben Chamishim Shana. The service of the different army, the Jewish people's army, was from 20 years and up. The army, the Tzivas Hashem, that they served in the Beis HaMikdash of the Mishkan, was from 30 up till age 50. It was Dal calculation, which correlates to the cheshbon of the Bnei Yisrael, which was to those who went out to the army. That's by them, it says, Kol Yetzi Tzava, that was 20 and up. By Levim, that was from 30 and up, like it says, Kalabot Litzvah La'avod, for their army, which was to do the service in the Beis in the Mishkan. So we see that Gezer was not on the Shevet Levi. That's why it's not difficult. Achia Shalani, who, yeah, was over 20, was able to see Amram and still make it to Eretz Yisrael. Now, that the Gemara asks on this answer. Is that really true? However, that as we're explaining that, but besides Shevet Levi, from all other tribes, there was no one that went out of Mitzrayim that made up Eretz Yisrael. In other words, why are you contriving to answer that only because Achia was a Levi, that's why he made it to Eretz Yisrael? But Vatanya, we'll prove from a Braisa that there were those who were from different tribes, not from Levi, rather from Shevet Menashe, that were over 20 and did make it to Eretz Yisrael. Because the Braisa says, Vatanya, Yor ben Menashe, Umacher ben Menashe, Noldu b'mei Yaakov. They were born in the days when Yaakov was still alive. And that's a tradition that we have. So they were way over 20 coming out of Mitzrayim, because Yaakov was only 17 years in Mitzrayim, and they were there for 210. Yet, v'loi meisu, yet they did not die, which actually we only learn out one of these two sons from this pasuk that we're going to bring, until the Jewish people entered into Eretz Yisrael. Shem, like it says the pasuk in Yeshua, that when they were fighting into conquering Eretz Yisrael, v'yakum mehem anshei Ai, that the people of Ai smote on the Jewish people, k'shleishim v'sheish ish, around 36 men. Now, by the time we learn the Braisa, what does that mean? So the first opinion holds Shleishim v'shisha mamash. The Rebbe Yehuda holds, yeah, because they killed 36 people of the Jewish people. Amal Rebbe Nechemi, Rebbe Nechemi said to him, v'chi nemer Shleishim v'shisha. Does the Pasuk say that they killed 36? V'aloi loy nemer elekish Shleishim v'shisha. But it doesn't say that. It says, like 36. What does that mean? What does it mean, like 36? Elaze Yor ben Menashe. Rather, this refers to Yor ben Menashe, Sheshokel Karubi Shal Sanhedrin, that he is equal to the equivalent to the majority of the Sanhedrin. Now, the Sanhedrin had 71 judges. So it comes that the majority is 36, because 36 is 72. That's the majority of the Sanhedrin. So Yor, the son of Menashe, who is the Shevet Menashe, he was made in Eretz Yisrael. He was killed in that war in Eretz Yisrael. So you see that from another tribe, who was over 20, did make a Eretz Yisrael. So why are you saying Achia only because he's a Levi? So Elam Omer Rav Acha ben Yaakov, he says, you're right. Lo nigzer gezeira, the actual decree of those who had to die in the Midbar, who had left Egypt, lo yal pachis mi ben nesem, it was not for those who were under the age of 20, and v'lo yal yesem mi ben shishim, neither was for those who were over the age of 60. Because as we said, it was only those who would fight in the wars, that was from age 20 to 60. So if that's the case, then you're right. You could say that although Achia Shalani was a Yisrael, but he saw Amram for at least a period of 5 years, which would make it that by the time he went out, he was 61 years old. So at least that amount he saw Amram. So since he was over 60, that's why, you're right, he didn't die in the Midbar, and he was able to prophesize in the days of Yeravim ben Nevat. As the Gemara explains, how do we know this? Loyal pachas me ben Asim, we know that the Gezer was not on those who were under age 20. The Chsiv, as the Pasuk says in the Midbar, it was only ben Esim Shana v'mala, for only those who were 20 and up. But moreover, v'loyal yesim ben Shishim, how do we know that it was not even for those who were over age 60? Because Gamar Umalu Umalu Me'erichim, we learn on Gzeri Shava, where it says over here 20 and up, and where it says that word and up from the parasha of Erichim, which Erichim is when someone takes a certain vow, giving the value of that person to Hekdesh, which there are certain set amounts that the Torah talks about, which is called Erichim. We learn that Malahal and Yesim Ben Shishim, just like over there, regarding taking the Erich vow of someone that's over the age of 60. which is not the same as those who are 20 and up, because actually the value of someone over 60 for Erichin is less than that of 20 and up, as it's written over there in the Parshan Erichin. Where just like over there, when it's 60 and up, is Kepachis Miben Chav, is like those who are under age 20, who their value is also less than those who are 20 and up. Now, as Rashbam points out, although the value of those under 20 is not the same as those of 60 and up, but what we mean when we say that they're the same is that they're both the same, that they're both less than the value of an adult of 20 and up, although they're different in exacting about how much the amount is. So on that says the Gemara, Afkan. So to over here, we learn that from the Gezeirah Shava Umala, that Yesem Ben Shishim Kepachis Ben Esrim, that more over the age of 60 was like that of under the age of 20, just like under the age of 20 were different, that they weren't included in the Gezeirah of those who were 20 and up, so too for those who were over the age of 60, you could also say that they were not included in that calculation of being in the Gezeirah of dying in the Midbar, and that's why you write that Achi Ashelaini, although you could say that he was a Yisrael, not a Levi, he was able to see Amram because he was over 60 when he left Egypt, and therefore he didn't have to die in the Midbar. So that's again what we said in the Braisa, that these seven individuals encompassed the entire span where Adam took up many years, and then they continued, they had many years, and then you come to Eliyahu Navi where he's up until the end because he's still alive. So that's how you have these seven tzaddikim, which again reinforces what we said before regarding that whoever increases his learning, which these were great tzaddikim who learned Torah, that increases the lifespan, where you have these seven righteous individuals taking up the entire time span of the history of the world.